Good morning, everyone. Good to be with you all today. I'll bet you're Lisa's mother.
Yes, I am.
Bless your heart. I'm Mark. My wife's Shirley.
Pleased to meet you.
I don't know if you met either one of us before or not. But
what's your name, honey?
Donna.
Donna, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
And good to be with you today. And thank God for your daughter, your son-in-law, and all these wonderful grandchildren. We rave about them all the time.
They're a house full.
Don, I missed them so much while they were gone, but I just thank God that they were able to come up and visit with you. And
yeah, I miss them when I'm
home. Oh, I can see why.
They're a blessing.
Well, what a pleasure to meet you. I don't remember meeting you before. I may have. I don't remember it. But what a wonderful family you have. And their roots go back. And so we're grateful. A real pleasure to meet you. I got into some poison ivy, so on the left side of my face, and then here, and then up here a little bit, but it's on the downside, but I still got some inflammation here underneath my eye. We were working on some of the storm damage on the property, and with all the rain and that we had, just rain, and then the wind snaps things, and we had quite a ordeal of cleaning up some properties, and so one of them had to have some poison ivy in it somewhere, but I know leaves of three leave it be. I've experienced poison ivy before. Linda was with me one time, and I grabbed a big old pile of it like this, and I was just soaking wet with sweat. I grabbed it like this and went all up against me everywhere, and I laid on the floor like this with a fan on me for 10 days, and that was a few years ago, but didn't identify that. I thought it was like a Virginia creeper, which looks like poison ivy. But when you see those leaves of three, you got to really leave it alone. But it jumped on me, and got on this part of my body. So hopefully I'll get rid of this pretty soon. I was just telling everybody I got some poison ivy, Christy, Mike, on my left side of my face here. So no one hit me or anything. Oh, golly. Yeah. Cat scratch fever or something.
Yeah.
I want to encourage us all to do something right now, if you would. I saw this earlier, and how many of you know that even though you love the Lord with all your heart, you're walking with Him, you really want to be His child, you really want to do it His way, you really mean it, and you're sincere about it, but in life, that old nature can still be there and creep up on you sometimes and, have its way. And so I want to encourage us all today to have a heart of a child and the mind of a child, and do something perhaps that you have done in the past, maybe as a child, maybe as an adult. How many of you ever jumped into either a lake or a stream or a body of water, and you just splashed it on each other, and you're just kind of you're having fun, man, and you're just having fun in that water. And I want to encourage us all to spiritually visit a stream of God, a mountain stream of God, a pure stream of God, the washing of the water of God. Just kind of picture yourself there, jumping in the stream and getting off what jumped on you recently. Or maybe jumped on you for a little while. Maybe it's been on you for years, I don't know. But you know how it is, Satan will take the opportunity as a roaring lion and he'll jump on you. And I picked up this poison ivy and it likes to jump on me, physically. If I just look at it, it jumps on me. But I have a brother who can eat it and won't bother him. And not that he hasn't done that, but he has taken it and he rubbed it on himself to prove that it wouldn't bother him, and it didn't. But it does mean he's my brother, he's my sibling. But anyhow, things can jump on us, and you may not know it right away, but it doesn't take long for poison ivy to manifest itself on me. It jumped on me on an afternoon, and then shortly I began to feel an itching, and we were pulling some mangoes off a tree, and when you pull a mango off a tree, the little stem kind of squirts a little bit and hit me, and I thought it was a mango, and I said, it doesn't make sense for mango juice to be doing that, because mangoes are good and I don't want to be eating anything that's itching me on the outside if it's in mango. But it wasn't that, it was poison ivy. It's just kind of a coincidence. So how many of you know that you can get something, but it manifests, takes a little while to manifest? And so sometimes whatever that is, that spear or that dart can jump on you, or whatever you did in your heart, perhaps, didn't do it physically, but you did in your heart, and it's jumped all over you, and it's just yucky. That's all. It's the bottom line. It's just not good. And you're a child of God. You really want to walk with Him. You really want to please Him. But yet in this world, you are not going to escape the fiery darts of Satan as you walk on your journey. You're not. I'm not. Nobody else is. I don't care what you think of somebody, how holy they are. There's only one that was pure and holy and walked that way, and that was Jesus Christ, the Son of Living God, without sin, pure, the ultimate pure, perfect sacrifice of all, who died for us, and we're cleansed in Him. So I just want us right now, if you would, I don't care if you want to close your eyes or whatever, but just vision yourself going into this mountain stream of God, the purity flow, the river of God, and just jump in there and just get clean, and whatever jumped on you, tell it to jump off, and just bathe in this water of life, this washing of the water of the Word. I just want to invite you right now to do that. And some of you might think it's kind of silly, but whatever's not of done of faith is not going to be accepted anyhow. So I'm going to jump in there, and you can jump in with me if you want, but it's not any cruddy Tampa Bay water. We're not talking about some recycled water. We're just talking about jumping into this water of life, this river that flows from the heaven, from the city of God. And so as a child of God, you have the right to do that through Christ Jesus. So Father, right now, by faith, I just want to jump in there, and I just want to have a good time with you, Father, just splashing and bathing. Lord, you can go under the water if you want. You come out of the water if you want. You can just holler hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for cleansing me from my stupidity, from my ignorance, from my bullheadedness, Lord, from my ways, from all the crud, Lord, that jumped on me. It could be spiritual poison ivy. I don't care what it is or what you call it, but it jumped on you, and you know it. And so nobody else knows you but like God and you. And He knows you better than yourself, and you know that He knows you better than yourself. And so we can't fool Him. So, Father, we come before you. We may not even know how it got on us, but, Lord, just yuck. And so, Father, we just come against those spiritual things that may have jumped on us, those feelings of dislike and whatever it is that came on us. We just bathe. We have fun, Lord. We splash. We throw the water around. We throw it on each other, but it's the waters of life, Lord. It's from you. And I want to thank you, Lord, for cleansing us from all of our fleshy ways. Lord, I pray this, that we could come together here today to be in unity. And Father, be cleansed from all unrighteousness through the blood of Jesus. All because of Jesus. Because we just had that song, because He rose, we also will rise. We will rise, and we can rise. We can rise today, Father. Today with hope, not like someday, but today is the day of resurrection. Today is the day of hope. Today is the day of opportunity to open our mouths to thank you, Lord. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Say it with me. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, how precious is the flow. Thank you, Lord. That makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Today is the day of salvation. Do not procrastinate. Maybe tomorrow, maybe some other day, maybe when I hear some other preacher, maybe when I read some Psalms, maybe when I read the New Testament, maybe when I read this, maybe when I do that. What about maybe now? What about right now? What about just calling out to Jesus right now and to be free and to be cleansed in His precious blood? There's nothing, there's no one else, there is no other name that can fill that void, that hole in our heart. Nothing, no one, no thing, no person, no place, no thing can satisfy us like Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this moment of time with you, Lord, to come together with this body. Father, to set ourselves right with you, we cannot do it ourselves. We are absolutely nothing, Lord, without you. And I want to thank you, Lord. I want to thank you, Father, for your great mercy and grace shed upon me and all those here today, Father. as we bathe in your word. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Kind of fun to go
and
run to Jesus. Just run to him. We all have our battles. You know that. I know that. But the Lord is good. I want to share a couple of testimonies with you, and I want to invite testimonies because they preach to us, they preach to each other, and it's a God thing to have an experience, an encounter with Jesus Christ. And your daily walk, not just here, but Monday through Sunday, 24/7. I was out watering, getting ready to water my yard, and I checked the mail first. Went over here and checked the mail. Had four pieces of mail in the mailbox, two junk and two that were pretty important. One was actually a check to me. The other one was from an insurance company that I need to respond to. And the other two were just junk mail. I knew what I had, put it in the back of my truck, my open air back of the pickup truck, and I proceeded to water. I watered, and you're right, I forgot about the mail in the back of the truck. Later on, I got in the truck to go do an errand. I was going down Fletcher Avenue, and I believe it's a God thing. I really do with all my heart, because I really need that mail. I looked through my rearview mirror, just looking at that moment, I looked in my rearview mirror. I didn't look at my rearview mirror. I don't look at my rearview mirror when I'm driving all around. I have to look ahead, right? But once in a while, you'll glance and see if anything's going on behind you. I glanced, and in that second, flip, there went a piece of, I remembered it. Instantly, I remembered. I put the mail in the back of the truck. There went a piece of my mail. I didn't know which one out of the four it was, but it was one of the four. It went right out of the back of the truck. Just like this, on the back of the road, on Fletcher Avenue from where I live, there's the mail. Along the road, I tried to mark it real quick where it was along that wall. Just real quick, looked over. And I went around the block, and here I come with my truck, and I'm looking for a white envelope. I'm looking. Lord, put my eyes upon the envelope. Put my eyes upon it. And there it was. I saw it. I pulled up over the curb on the road and walked down, and there it was, addressed to Mark Parsons from, it was the insurance one. That was flipped out there, and I says, okay, let me look in the back and see what else I lost, because I know I had four pieces. There were two there, and there was one missing. That was the check. I retracked all the way back. I couldn't walk it from Fletcher all the way back to my house, looking along the road, or get a bloodhound or something to sniff out the mail. So I was just moving around 20 miles an hour in a truck, just looking. Lord, put my eyes, set my eyes upon this piece of mail. And I went all the way back from Fletcher, all the way back down Armenia, all the way back down by the garage and Lineball, almost back all the way to my house along Lineball. I looked over to the left by the Church of Christ down here, and I saw a white envelope. And my heart began to, that could be it. So I turned around, walked over, parked the truck, went back, and there was a check addressed to me, Mark Parsons, Blue Land Care. I think that was a God thing. I really do. I think that was a God thing. I really praise God for that. You know, just because in my heart, God help me, God show me. I hate what happened, but you see, we're not perfect, and we do things sometimes stupid things or ignorant things. To me, it wasn't either stupid or ignorant so much as I forgot it. And I didn't want to hold it while I was watering, so there it was in the back of the truck. But just at that moment, my eyes saw that envelope. If my eyes were not fixed on that rear view mirror in that second when that went flip just like that, I would have missed that coming out. I would have gone on to do what I got to do. I was going to Lowe's. I would never have known, ever would have known to turn around or where I lost or where it was.
Amen.
You see, when we walk with Jesus, he makes a way where there seems to be no way.
Amen.
He makes a way for us. I just think that's incredible. And I want to thank God for that. I want to thank God for something else that's been going on. It's a situation where I have a man who went for surgery for his eye. He lost his eye when he's 27. He's just now going to have it removed, have it replaced with a prosthetic. And it's amazing because the prosthetic will have a muscle or a sinew or something attached to it that when he moves one eye, the other eye will move too. You don't have to take it out anymore. It just stays right there. Well, he was going to be out, and I knew that. Another one of my employees slipped on a piece of wood and ended up tearing his meniscus. And so he's hobbling around. Didn't know if I was going to have him or not. So 120 hours of work needed to be done. I was down to 40, just me. And Shirley said, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. I'm going to look to the Lord and see how this works out. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know that I will do everything I can with resources to reach out and see if I can get some help, but end up the one who tore his meniscus hobbled on for another week or so and stayed with me, and another fellow who used to work with me was able to work because he was down on his luck with some things that were wrecked, his truck and stuff like that, so he's available. And so we're back up to three people again. So I'm just extremely grateful for that. But Bruce, the one who had his eye removed, let me share something with you. It's so powerful because you cannot push somebody into reality of things, that a closeness or an encounter with Jesus Christ. You've got to pray that they would have that encounter themselves. He went to have his eye removed. He wasn't thinking anything about it, but he drank a small bottle of water before he went. The nurse said, "Did you have anything to eat or drink?" "Nothing to eat, but I said I did drink some water." He said, "How much?" He told her how much. She said, "We can't do the surgery right now because when you're out, you could possibly get pneumonia from the water that you drank." He said, "Oh, I didn't know that. You're going to keep your gown on. You're going to stay here until surgery at 1 o'clock instead of 8 o'clock. So his wife went home. He's there. He knows people are praying for him. He's been told that. People, some of our accounts told me they're going to be praying for him, put him on a prayer list. His wife was there, he said, with two Bibles, but she finally left. She loves the Lord. And so anyhow, here's Bruce isolated. Isolated. Sometimes God isolates us. His wife is gone, he's in a room, he starts to shake. He starts doing this. And they come up to him and said, this is after a while, he's sitting there. And the nurse, the attendant said, are you cold? He says, no. He said, I'm starting to think about all this. He came by to share all this with me. And he was fearful. It's the first time he told me, when he told me about that experience, I said, what happened? He said, I was there and I was shaken, and they came by to ask me what was wrong. And he said, I called out to God. He's telling me this, and I just want to bear hugging the pieces, you know, Bruce. I said, what did you say? I said, Lord, help me. I really need you right now, because I'm thinking about this the first time I'm ever going to have a body part removed from me. And I'm not going to have it anymore. And I'm starting to think about all the things, because the nurse said, you know, you could get pneumonia if we don't do this right. And he's starting to think, you see, fear. And I share with you sometimes about the beehive of thoughts, the beehive that it just drive you nuts. And so here he was arranged, and I told him, I said, God arranged this. God arranged this for you to have this experience. Don't make any mistake about it. God arranged this for you to be isolated. And he cried out to the Lord, and he asked the Lord for help. And because this is a proud guy, and he asked the Lord for help. And he said, after I prayed, he said, I was all right. He said, I was calm. I was all right. And he came over to my house to explain all this to me. And I said, have you ever accepted? I wanted to hear him say it. Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? He said, and he didn't hesitate. He said, yes, I have. I said, that's good. As a child of God, God heard you. Now you do whatever you're doing, but you know, in your life, but you're going to be drawn closer to him through this experience, because this is real. This is a very real encounter for you. And there's been a change. There's been a change, and it's just wonderful to see it. He's coming back to work Monday. And even though they don't have his eye finished yet with all the cosmetic stuff, but they will match his eye and do whatever they got to do, but they insert the ball in there and everything, and they attach the muscle to it. And when he moves one eye, it's going to move too. The doctors are all happy with everything, how it's all healing up. So he's been out for almost 3 weeks. So he'll be back tomorrow. That's Bruce's situation. That's a testimony there. And I'm just so grateful, you know, for an experience that way. And we pray before we head out every morning, and Bruce is there, and then we go out and do our work, but we dedicate our day to the Lord as we go out, and he's been there the whole time for that. But we'll hopefully see some good, closer relationship now with the Lord through his experience. Very, very powerful. And then just one other thing, it was a God thing. I'm telling you, this is so powerful. And I hope this is preaching to you because it's preaching to me. Because testimonies are indicative that there's a relationship there. There's a connection there. It needs to be in our daily life. Maybe nothing fantastic in your daily life, but you're aware that Jesus is there. You're aware that you're his child and you're walking with the King. And so here's another God thing. I'm at a red light. Stopped at a traffic light. My two guys are with me. Here comes my sister-in-law, Mary Mayer. Pulls up beside me. Her dad married Shirley and I. Will be 36 years ago in December 20th. And at that time, he said, they had the preacher's little black book. He said, this is one of those times when I guess we need to throw away the little black book. And because we had a relationship, and it was a wonderful. We have it all recorded on tape. Of the wedding and everything. So her dad was 91, and I didn't know this. My brother Gary told me he's getting ready to go home to be with the Lord. And I said, Mary, Gary told me Dan wasn't doing well. She said, no, he's not. You should go see him. Here's this precious sister-in-law sharing with me that I should go see Dan. And I really took that to heart, that was a God thing. The encounter was no mistake. I went home and told Shirley, I said, we need to stop by and see Dan as soon as we can. So we went out to Sweet Tomatoes, and then on the way back from Sweet Tomatoes, we came back and to see Dan. And 4 days later, he passed away. 4.5 days later, he passed away. He's 91, but when I went to see him, he was able to whisper. We're able to communicate. His wife's right next to him. She has some Alzheimer's. Is that what?
Parkinson's.
And she can only whisper. She's right here. He's right there. We're having conversations with him. We sang a song to him and talked to him. And I had my experience. Shirley had hers. And before we were getting ready to leave, I was at the sliding glass doors and I looked back at him. And he never said anything very louder than a whisper the whole night. And I said, Dan, I love you. And he said, just as clear as a bell, his daughter was standing right there, Martha, I love you too. And I said, did you hear that? And I looked at Martha and I said, I love you, Dan. And he looked, and he couldn't change the position. His little head was on a pillow and he said, I love you too. And it just made my day. But if I wasn't obedient, if I wasn't looking to the Lord, if I wasn't attentive to what God was saying, then that would never have happened. And I think I would have regretted not seeing him before he passed away. And Shirley had her experience there with him, and it was pretty powerful too, Shirley. You want to say anything about what you experienced with him?
Oh, I got a precious gift. Because after we had talked, we sang, and you know, just this man loved nothing more than to talk about the Lord. He loved the Lord so dearly. He taught, he preached for years. And so, you know, we just shared things of the Lord with him, and it was like the Spirit of God just enlivened him, and he was more lively than they had seen him in several days. But as we were getting ready to leave, I said, well, Dan, how about a little kiss? And so I leaned up to him. He lifted his head up off that pillow and kissed me. And then he lifted it up and gave me a second kiss. And I'll tell you, it was like such a treasure to me, but later I was thinking about it. I was thinking, it was probably one kiss was for goodbye this evening, and the other one was for goodbye, see you in the kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
Two precious kisses. It just really blessed me.
It was an awesome visit. We got to see some of the family members as well. There's always spinoff things going on when you think you're going to do one thing. There's a lot of other things going on. So I'm just, you know, I'm hogging up the testimony a little bit. But don't mean to, but some things are very important and relative, hopefully, that will bless you too. So how y'all doing? Things jumping on you, well, you tell them to jump off.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Get behind me, Satan. You know, I rebuke you, Satan. I cast you from me, Satan. I cast you out of me, Satan. Whatever. He jumps on, you tell him to jump off. And you get cleansed. You get washed in that precious blood of Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And any other testimony here this morning? Because I'm going to jump on a couple other things here. Anyone else?
We were thankful that we left a week ago, Thursday, and we pulled in Friday for dinner. And I guess that night,
11 o'clock that night,
a land hurricane hit
where
the whole state of West Virginia.
West Virginia, Ohio.
It just tore the whole state
yes,
up.
Yes, yes,
Morgantown
yes.
Morgantown was not hit, where she's from, was not hit as much as the rest of the state.
100 miles.
However, we got out of there just in time. I'm just so grateful.
You were there during that time?
No, no, no. We got out.
We
got out the day before. We pulled up, like, for dinner on Friday, and
yes.
We hit there, 11:30 that night.
That came out of the Northwest.
The miracle was that they had triple digit with high humidity, and I have asthma in the heat and humidity, I can't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no electric. They didn't get it on a whole week. They had no electric. So God got me out of there because I would have never been able to make it.
Donna. I have some friends in Ohio that came out of the Northwest. It went through there. Barns came down. There was some people investigating a barn or something like that, and it fell on them, and they died or whatever it was. But I have a lot of friends up there. And someone's getting ready to come down and visit my brother from there. As the other day, they were still out of electricity.
Yes.
And for the first time, they always had this little town parade, July the 4th. A lot of those small towns in America had that all over America. And they've never, ever not had it. And they always have a dinner of everybody went to the local school there also carrying dinner. They canceled everything. There's no electricity. First time ever. And trees down everywhere. 70 mile per hour sustained.
That's what my husband said.
Like that, sustained. And you know how you get a tree started, but if you keep pushing and keep pushing and keep pushing, it'll finally come over. So just a lot of, almost 2 million people without power.
Right.
Incredible. So I'm glad that I thought about you, and when I heard about that, I just didn't know where you guys were.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
God set me free from
that. That's awesome.
I have quite a bit of family lives in that area, so mm-hmm. I've been around through that area. And some of them actually slept in their basements, just, you know, as protection, like two-story houses. You don't want to be up in the second story. It's really mm-hmm. trees around everything. But everybody was fine, and I was grateful for that.
Yes, yes.
And then I just want to give a testimony of last weekend. It was really quite a miracle in my book. I could write it down, say, miracle, big letters, that Mark and I went to St. Augustine.
Spur of the moment. Spur of the moment.
Yeah, spur of the moment. Of course, I love that. It's a little harder for him. But, but you know, the Lord gave us permission to go. And as I was praying about it, he just told me, just, you know, the words were slow down. And, you know, I understand that sometimes we were so busy, we can't even hear him because we're just too busy. But slow down. Well, what he blessed us so much, and it's almost like, I don't know, almost feel funny because it was like he lavished so much on us. So we left on Saturday morning at 11, and we were back Sunday afternoon at 2:30, so it was very, you know, it was a short little thing, but it felt like several days to me.
And 4 hours of driving one way.
Yeah, and 8 hours of driving. So, well, we came up the coast, and it was just so delightful. I mean, I just really enjoy that. It was a change of pace. We were away from our home and all the work that we had to do. We got there. We checked into a bed and breakfast around 3 and had no plans. I mean, that's how slow I was. No plans. We'll just do whatever comes because we're not going to, like, feel like we have to go do something, get our money's worth, you know? Mm-hmm. So I just happened to look over, and I was wondering what's going on in the town tonight. It was Saturday. And I saw a little thing just jumped off the page at me. There was a free music festival, and they were doing that night. It was the last night, the sixth night, and they were doing Handel's Water Suite, which is one of my very favorites. So I was pretty excited. So I said to him, you make reservations for dinner, and I'll go down and you know, talk to the people about breakfast. So it all just fell into place. You know, checked in, then we just meandered up the streets, which we went into our favorite art gallery, spent a little time there, went down the street, had a lovely dinner at the Columbia restaurant, and when that was done, we came back up and went to this free concert, and it was just wonderful. The Lord just really blessed so much there. When we were done there, we went meandering along the bay back to our room, and I looked at him. I said, do you feel like we need to go do something? He said, no. I said, neither do I. It was like God planned out this marvelous evening for us. And the next morning, now, I don't see this too much. We had breakfast at 7:30, and because he usually eats breakfast at 5, so I don't eat it till 10. We got in the middle. We had a lovely breakfast. So we went back to our room, and I said, do you feel like we need to go do something to get our money's worth? And he said, no. And he said, actually, I feel like maybe I just like to close my eyes a little bit. Well, do it. I mean, what keeps you from doing it? So he lay down on the bed and closed his eyes and fell asleep. And I just had a little few things. I wanted to just write a few things in my journal. And then he woke up and he said, oh, I guess I fell asleep. I said, well, sleep some more. He lay down and went to sleep. So we didn't feel like, you know, gosh, we've spent all this money to come here. We didn't feel like we had to go do something. And God was just showering his blessings on us. And then checkout was at 11 around 10:30. He says, well, I could put some things in the car. And I said, okay. We put things in the car. We drove back down along the coast, enjoyed that, and just had the most delightful time we've ever had.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Really quick is one of those type
and
of trips.
He never takes a day off. That's one of the things that was so great about it. He just doesn't take days off. And then lately, with being down a couple of employees, he's been working extra hours. And his weekends, you know, Saturdays are always preparation for Sundays. And so he just doesn't get days off. So this was a real miracle, and I just thank the Lord for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, my day off is with Jesus. And a day with Jesus is just awesome. But I know what you're saying, and I appreciate. But we all have different responsibilities, and may God help us to fulfill them.